You are Locked On Bears, your daily Chicago Bears podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
The Chicago Bears and the NFL lost a true legend on Wednesday with the passing of Gale Sayers. So we're going to honor his legacy and truly cherish his excellence. Welcome into the Locked On Bears podcast. I'm your host, Lauren Cox. I'm an analyst for Pro Football Focus, and I cover the Chicago Bears for Bears Wire. I'm here to bring you your daily in-depth Chicago Bears news and analysis. Today's podcast is brought to you by Visa. Help support your local businesses. Whether they're your corner stores, coffee spots, or favorite shops, local businesses have always been on your team, supporting you and your community. But right now, more than ever, local businesses need our support. So let's be there for them. The next time you go shopping, make the choice to shop at local businesses and look for the contactless symbol and tap to pay with a contactless Visa to help support your community. Because where and how you shop matters. Visa, everywhere you want to be. Official partner of the NFL. On today's podcast, we will look back on the bright but short NFL career of Gale Sayers, along with many of the things he did after his career that really cemented his status as a real-life superhero. Then we will continue with our weekly crossover Thursday. We joined by Aaron Freeman from Locked On Falcons to give us the scoop on a strange start to the season for Atlanta, an 0-2 team that might be the best 0-2 team in the NFL, given how well they've played and the quality of opponents they've faced. But unfortunately, we start on a much more somber note. Gale Sayers was one of those players that left an impact on the NFL and the world so much larger than I think we can see or he could have ever even known. And as tragic as it was in his battle with dementia that really kind of brought things down over the last few seasons, it's clear that he made such a positive impact on the world, really, not only the Chicago Bears and the NFL, but just how truly, genuinely good of a human being this was, in addition to how excellent of a football player this was. Because, I mean, as you might be able to tell, I'm not old enough to have been able to watch Gale Sayers actually play in the NFL, and I'm guessing most of you listening to this podcast weren't old enough to remember Gale Sayers running around in the late 1960s, but, I mean, you watch clips, and it's not hard to see how special of a football talent he is. You hear the stories of the 6-touchdown game on where he only had like 9 touches in the whole game. It was like, you know, he had 6 runs and 2 catches and a kickoff return touchdown. I mean, something crazy like that, that's just unheard of even in the modern NFL. A player so good that we think of him as someone who could play in the modern NFL and dominate just the way he did in the 1960s. Of course, cut short by knee injuries, really only had 5 full seasons of performance, but ended up having 7 under his belt in the NFL, but continued to be a strong advocate for positivity in the world. He had a lot of charitable goods, and of course, he dealt and overcame with so much during his career. I mean, playing in the 1960s as a star black athlete, being the first interracial roommates with Brian Piccolo, dealing with racism not only in football but in the world at the time, and continuing to be an advocate for positive change all the way up until he passed away. I really think his Pro Football Hall of Fame speech was particularly poignant, and still, even though that was quite a while ago now, still I think applies really effectively to today. And I just wanted to play a really brief snippet of it that spoke so strongly to Gale Sayers' character here. And this was put together by the Pro Football Hall of Fame, and I thought it was really powerful and moving, and a great way to remember what the world lost on Wednesday.
Reaching this point, however, is not as important as striving to get here. This is true in all professions, in all life's activities. There are doctors, lawyers, school teachers, plumbers, all who strive to do the very best to their abilities. We hear a lot today about how the American people have lost their dedication to excellence. I don't believe that is true. Each of us excels at different things, sometimes in areas that are only a hobby, more often in our life's vocation. The most important thing, however, is to strive to do our very best.
Gale Sayers, Hall of Famer forever.
A lot of Gale Sayers' character as a human being was captured in Brian's song, but I think it doesn't do him justice to just rely on that as our image and encapsulation of how genuinely good of a person and human being this man was. And I'm it's sad that I don't feel like I even can scratch the surface on who Gale Sayers was and what he was able to provide to society. Again, even beyond just a football player, like, it doesn't do it justice to just talk about how good of a player he was. It doesn't do it justice just to talk about his relationship with Brian Piccolo and everything he dealt with at that time. And it doesn't do it justice just to talk about some of the things he's done after his career. I mean, it really was a full lifetime of excellence from Sayers. 77 years he was on this earth and did so much for the community, for the sport, for people that he never met and will never know his true impact on them. It really continues to reverberate, and it's the type of life and legacy that I think we should all aspire to have when our time comes. It's sad, but I think it's really a good reminder of the good in the world and the positivity that still exists with everything else going on, and that there are more people like Gale Sayers out there, and we all have the capabilities of being good people like Gale Sayers in the world. And I think he's a great example for ourselves, our children, and our future generations. There's not really a good way to transition from that to the Bears and Atlanta Falcons on Sunday, but I am excited for our crossover podcast conversation here with Aaron Freeman from Locked On Falcons, because they are an 0-2 Falcons team, but they are not as bad of an 0-2 team as you would perhaps think, and they're going to be, even yet, the best opponent the Bears have played thus far. We'll find out what's gone wrong in Atlanta and why we could be in for a shootout next on Locked On Bears. It's getting about to be that time where we need to start thinking about getting our cars ready for the snow and the winter months. And if you're going to buy any new parts for your vehicle, then you need to check out rockauto.com. It's a family business that's been serving auto parts customers online for 20 years with, hands down, the best selection anywhere you can find. They've got everything you could possibly need. Engine control modules, brake parts, tail lamps, motor oil, even brand new carpet. Whether it's a classic car you're working on in the garage or just your daily commuter, you can get everything you need in a few easy clicks, delivered directly to your door. You might not know that some of the chain stores will actually have different prices for professional mechanics and do-it-yourselfers like us. But RockAuto.com's prices are the same for everybody. So don't spend up to twice as much for the same parts. Just go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com. Bears versus Falcons won't be the two best teams playing on Sunday, but it might be the most interesting matchup in terms of a pair of opponents where we still don't know for sure what either team is going to be this season, which is why I'm really happy to have Aaron Freeman from Locked On Falcons joining us now for this Crossover Thursday podcast.
So, guys, welcome back to another Crossover Thursday. I'm the host of Locked On Falcons. Of course, I'm Aaron Freeman, joined by the host of Locked On Bears, Lauren Cox. I'm inviting Lauren into my home, just like the Falcons will be inviting the Bears into their home at Mercedes-Benz Stadium this Sunday. And the Falcons are looking for their first win, hoping to knock off the undefeated Bears. And the Bears are looking to extend their 2-0 start to continue that undefeated streak. Lauren, my friend, looking forward to this upcoming matchup?
Yeah, I think it's going to be really fun, just especially having seen what the Falcons have done through the first 2 weeks and the Bears. It kind of feels like both of these teams, if a handful of things for each one had gone differently, you know, a couple plays here for the Bears, they could be 0-2. And a couple plays there for the Falcons, they could be 2-0. I mean, I don't, maybe the Seahawks game wasn't quite that close, but you know, it just felt to me like both of these teams are a little bit volatile right now. And so I think anything can happen on Sunday.
Yeah, I feel like this is a game that, especially for the Falcons, because they're in an 0-2 hole, that will sort of determine whether or not they're going to really be in a position to get their season turned around. As many people remember, last year they started off 1-7, they finished 6-2, but this year their schedule is not conducive for them to get that sort of bump in the second half of the season where they're facing teams like the Saints twice, the Buccaneers twice, the Chiefs, as well as some other teams. So if they're going to get their season back on track, it's really going to have to start this upcoming week. Last week, we already labeled a week 2 game as a must win. It's even a bigger must win for the Falcons heading into week 3. And I think, at least from an outside perspective, looking at the Bears situation, it does seem like if they can sort of beat this Falcon team, you know, I think some people will maybe question a little bit the Lions win and the Giants win, and maybe those weren't sort of, you know, high-level opponents. Obviously, the Falcons haven't looked like a high-level opponent, but I think they have a little bit more respect nationwide than their previous opponents. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, it's kind of the weird thing about this game, right? I mean, it's another winless team that the Bears are playing, and so if they beat the Falcons, and then they're the 0-3 Falcons, and well, is that impressive then? I mean, I think you're right that the Falcons are better than their record suggests, and they've played two very good teams to start the season, and especially the Dallas game, you know, played them very close, and we were able to do some things late there against the Seahawks to make that one a little bit closer too. But I'm with you 100% that I think this is an opportunity for the Bears to prove something, and I think it's an opportunity for Atlanta to potentially get back on track if that idea about the Bears' quality of opponent being a real issue proves to be something that, you know, is a real factor in this game, or it could say more about the Falcons than it does the Bears.
Now, looking at this matchup, I know, you know, it seems like the type of game that the Bears want to make it, this is a 17-14 defensive struggle, ground and pound, make the, you know, shorten the game, not really get into a shootout. And the Falcons, on the other hand, aren't really built to play that style of football. They're getting better at that. Their offensive line has been better this year. Their defensive line has been better this year. And, you know, Todd Gurley's added a little juice to their running game, but they're not really an offense that's built to, you know, feed the ball to Todd Gurley 30 times and get stops. Obviously, their defense is probably the worst in the NFL, and I say probably only to be generous to the delicate ears of the Falcon fans listening. They're definitely the worst defense in the NFL. But I think really the Falcons want to get off to a fast start and make this a track meet. And I wonder a little bit whether or not the Falcons will be able to do that this week, because there are questions about whether or not their number one weapon in Julio Jones is going to be healthy. I think if he's good enough, you know, if he's 85%, he's going to play. And this has been a case with the Falcons in the past where Julio Jones clearly isn't healthy enough to play, but he's got to be out there as a decoy, if for no other reason, because not having him on the field makes the Falcons offense a little bit, a whole lot easier to defend. And I'm curious, from your perspective, you know, how much of a relief would it be for you, for this Bears team, if Julio Jones is limited or out of the lineup?
It's obviously easier, right? I mean, and I don't want to take anything away from Julio Jones and Calvin Ridley. I mean, Ridley leading the NFL in receiving was something I discovered this week that was really surprising to me. I knew he'd been playing well. I didn't realize he was playing that well without Julio Jones. But at the same time, I do think the Bears' cornerback play right now has been very good, better than expected. You know, Kyle Fuller stepping in on the outside again, still kind of doing consistent Kyle Fuller things. He's not a shutdown cornerback, but he plays very well and he gets his hands on some footballs. And then they're starting a rookie second-round pick at the other cornerback spot, Jalen Johnson, who might be the best rookie cornerback in the NFL right now. It's between him and C.J. Henderson, I believe, as far as these young guys really standing out at that position. But ton of pass breakups, really covering guys up and down the field. And even he said, like, he's not scared of Julio Jones. He's not scared of Calvin Ridley. He said the exact quote from him was, "They bleed the same way I do." And, you know, he's not, obviously has a lot of respect for what they do and their quality, but he feels like he is a legitimate NFL cornerback, and he's been able to shut down receivers so far in his career. But it was the Lions and it was the Giants. It kind of comes back to that same discussion of, you know, he did pretty good against Marvin Jones in the Lions in week one. And, you know, that's a quality NFL receiver. But in that game, the Lions were without Kenny Galladay, their true number one. So it's that same kind of dynamic where if you take away the true number one option, then it becomes that much easier. And we've seen the Bears defense pretty well do that. But if you have two dynamic threats like Calvin Ridley and Julio Jones, all of a sudden it becomes that much more important for this Bears defense that's really predicated right now on its pass rush to get home against a Falcons offensive line that has a lot of names on the injury report here to start the week. It looks like those tackles in particular, Jacob Matthews and Caleb McGarry, not participating on Wednesday. I'm curious if this is going to end up being a battle of attrition here with Julio Jones injured and with some of these offensive players, and I know a lot of guys on defense too. Where is the level of health? Where's your level of confidence in the health of this Falcons team?
Yeah, they're pretty beat up, and this week is going to be interesting because it seems like Caleb McGarry is going to be out. He suffered a knee injury. But his replacement in Matt Gano, the Falcons swing tackle, stepped in ably last week and arguably outperformed anything we've seen from Caleb McGarry over the last season that he's been in the NFL in the final three quarters that Matt Gano played against the Cowboys, and really had no issues for the most part going up against guys like Everson Griffin and Alden Smith and DeMarcus Lawrence. So, you know, Khalil Mack and Robert Quinn are nothing to scoff at, especially Mac. I know Quinn's been dealing with some injuries, but I saw in the injury report today for the Bears that he was full go in practice. So it seems like he's getting close to 100%, if not already there. Jake Matthews, I think, is more of a precaution with his sitting out. He suffered his knee injury in the Seattle game, was able to return to the game, didn't miss a snap, played every snap against the Cowboys as well last week. So I think the Falcons are just going to be resting him in practice, but he'll probably be full go in the game on Sunday. But, you know, the issue with Jake Matthews is, you know, that knee injury is an issue for him because so much of his game is about his athleticism and his legs and his feet and his footwork than necessarily being this sort of power player. So if he's, you know, got a busted tire a little bit, he's not going to be as effective as he can be. And he's been one of the more underrated left tackles in the NFL the last couple of years. So it is a concern for this Falcons offensive line, who's performing really well this season, outperformed expectations for me going into the season. But this Bears game is going to be another test because you have guys like Quinn and Mack on the edges, and you do have a player like Akeem Hicks up the middle. And I remember the last time the Falcons played the Bears and Akeem Hicks really kind of dominated that game for the Bears in the trenches. So certainly going to be a challenge for the Falcons.
Yeah, and I know some of those injury issues have kind of lingered over on the other side of the Falcons ball, the other side of the ball for the Falcons. And so I really want to take a little bit of a closer look on if this is going to get into a shootout, how both of these two teams are going to be able to stack up in terms of firepower. And we'll discuss that and much more next right here on this Locked On Bears, Locked On Falcons crossover podcast, sponsored by MyBookie.ag. Use promo code LOCKEDON and double your first deposit, with new players getting up to $1,000 in free play. It's designed to add more excitement to the sports you love and the games you bet. Your winning season starts today, only at MyBookie. All right, we're back in this Locked On Bears, Locked On Falcons crossover podcast. I'm Lauren Cox from Locked On Bears, here with Aaron Freeman from Locked On Falcons. And Aaron, I think we both feel like this is going to come down to a lot more scoring than I think the Bears are used to, and probably more of the shootouts that the Falcons have been used to up to this point. And I want to start there with the Falcons defense in particular, going up against, you know, Mitch Trubisky on a little bit of his revitalization progress here, trying to reclaim his career a little bit. You know, I see guys like Dante Fowler and Tack McKinley on the injury report, a couple of safeties, DeMonte Casey and Ricardo Allen to a lesser extent there. I mean, how much is this Falcons defense, you called them one of the worst defenses in the NFL, how much of this is health and injury versus just guys missing talent and versus also playing against two really good offenses the last couple of weeks?
It's a lot of all of the above, I guess I would say, Lord. I think, you know, playing Russell Wilson, playing Dak Prescott, really, I think, showed that with quarterbacks as efficient and effective as those guys are, especially Wilson, who's right now probably the front runner to be the MVP, at least in my eyes, through two games, just sort of picked apart this Falcons defense. I think last week they got off to a really good start. They were able to create some turnovers against the Cowboys. They were able to get off the field several times, and that sort of gave a boost for their offense to be able to create points off of that, and that's why they got off to that early lead against the Cowboys, which they ultimately blew in that game. But it was noticeable in that Cowboys game that some of their key playmakers, guys like Tack McKinley, who's been their most effective pass rusher, Foye Olukun, who forced three fumbles in the first quarter, he also exited the game, and Ricardo Allen, who has been their better safety. They haven't had great safety play so far this year. Keanu Neal's coming back from Achilles injury. Doesn't look the same through two games. DeMonte Casey, who gets a lot of interceptions, but it just isn't the level of consistency you want playing that safety position. And without Allen in the lineup, those two players, Casey's and Neal's issues kind of got exposed a lot more in the back half of that Cowboys game. So I think injuries did play specifically a part into it in the Cowboys game, but the reality is the Falcons defense isn't very good. They have some name players, guys like Grady Jarrett. Tack McKinley stepped up, but Dante Fowler's been dealing with a similar ankle injury that Robert Quinn has been. He's not been particularly effective as a pass rusher. Deion Jones has not quite lived up to the hype so far this season, but he often gets off to relatively slower starts defensively. So that's something that could pick up. And their young corners, A.J. Terrell's been promising, but has gotten beat a number of times because of how often teams have been throwing against them. Dallas coming back and Seattle letting Russ cook in that first game and really attacking the secondary. Isaiah Oliver has improved in his third year now, but still struggles with speed. And many of the times, like the big plays that he's given up over the last 2 weeks against guys like DK Metcalf and CeeDee Lamb and Michael Gallup, have that issue, that vulnerability has been exposed a number of times. So if you're a Bears fan, and you know, this Falcon defense is kind of, if you have to get into a shootout, if you are forced to make Mitch Trubisky throw the ball, you know, 30, 40 times this game, I think the Falcons defense is the defense that you kind of want to play, because teams have had really no issue moving the ball against them outside of maybe the first quarter of that week 2 game against the Cowboys.
Yeah, it's interesting because, like, we've seen the Falcons give up a ton of passing yards, obviously. I mean, the Cowboys and Dak Prescott were able to throw all over them, and the Seahawks as well, letting Russ cook. But the Bears' offense has been one that wants to run the ball. And you mentioned it earlier. They want to kind of take it slow and make it a 17-14 ground-and-pound type game. I wonder if, you know, again, all it takes is a couple big plays from Calvin Ridley or Julio Jones to put a couple of touchdowns on the scoreboard, and all of a sudden the Bears can't rely on that running game, and all of a sudden the pressure goes on Mitch Trubisky's shoulders. And that worked in the fourth quarter against the Detroit Lions, but I don't know, are the Atlanta Falcons at Detroit Lions level? I mean, you know what I mean? Like, I don't want to put them in that category because they're clearly playing like a better team, but it feels like there's an opportunity here where if the Falcons can just get over the top of this Bears defense, can just kind of break through once or twice early on, I can see a formula here where they get the Bears more so out of their comfort zone and into this style of play that Atlanta wants to play.
Yeah, I think that's really where you're hanging your hat on if you're looking for an optimistic scenario for this Falcons defense. If the offense can take care of business and get off to a fast start like they did against Dallas, I think it would be, at least in theory, it's a little bit probably easier, no offense to Mitch Trubisky, to hold a lead against Mitch Trubisky than it was against Dak Prescott and the Cowboys receivers. You know, I think the world of Allen Robinson, but I do wonder if there's really a reliable number two option. Now, you know, given the question marks in the Falcons secondary, it wouldn't shock me if Allen Robinson just goes off in this game against this Falcons defense. But I think if the Falcons, you know, if basically the strategy, I guess, is when you have a number one receiver like that, if Allen Robinson gets his, if you can just sort of, you know, he's going to get his, but if you can prevent you know, Anthony Miller or Darnell Mooney or a Jimmy Graham or a Cole Kmet from really making a significant number of plays, it does seem like this Bears passing attack becomes a lot easier to defend.
I think it's going to come down to some of that Falcons pass rush. Like you said, with those guys being injured, if Trubisky's going to have all day to throw back there, he's going to be able to find openings against this Falcons defense. And I think the same is going to be true for Matt Ryan. You know, if Khalil Mack, Robert Quinn, and Akiem Hicks are terrorizing him all game, I don't know that he's going to have opportunities to get it to Calvin Ridley and Julio Jones downfield. But if this offensive line for the Falcons can kind of band together a little bit and maybe get rid of the ball quickly here and there and kind of tire out this Bears defense, I think there's some opportunities for them to put the kind of points on the board that we think they need to do in order to win this game.
Yeah, the old joke on Locked On Falcons is facing the Falcons is going to be the opposing team's get-right game. whatever your issues are dealing with, whatever you need to get, you know, going, and you're on Locked On Bears or whoever's on Locked On whatever, saying, oh, we haven't seen this aspect of this team going well the last couple of games. They need to reestablish the run. They need to get the pass rush going. They need to play better in coverage. They need to create turnovers. Generally speaking, it's going to happen against the Falcons. So I'm looking at you, Danny Trevathan. I know you struggled these last couple of games. And when I look at this Bears defense, I sort of see a lot of talented players on all three levels. But I feel like if there's anything the Falcons can exploit, it's potentially Danny Trevathan. But now that I've said that, since he needs his get-right game, because I know he's been struggling in coverage, maybe this is the week where he winds up picking off Matt Ryan two times and gets right, as it often is the case.
Yeah, I think the one thing I feel like I can count on is that this game is going to come down to the last few plays. I mean, both of the Bears' wins have had their opponent with the ball, you know, in their territory, threatening to score a game-winning score as the clock expires. And especially against a higher-quality opponent like Atlanta, I have a feeling same thing's going to come down at some point in this game. Either the Bears or the Falcons are going to have the ball, you know, inside the other team's 40-yard line, needing a point, or, you know, needing a touchdown or a field goal to win the game as the clock is at 5 seconds. And it's going to be fun to see who gets the last laugh in this one. But Aaron, I appreciate you taking the time and doing these crossover podcasts. It's always a lot of fun, and I'm sure we're going to have a lot of fun on Sunday too.
Absolutely. Looking forward to it. And Lauren, appreciate you joining me here on another crossover. And, you know, last time the Falcons and Bears lost, it came to that final play. Shout out to Brooks Reed, Falcons legend. Mike Glennon got let down by a couple of receivers with some drops in the end zone. But, you know, I don't want the drama that game instilled, because it's not good for my blood pressure. But I certainly think there's a good probability, as you say, that it may come down to that last possession. So I think we're going to get it regardless of what I want.
Yeah, I was going to say, you're not allowed to say the MG word on the podcast. I have to censor that when we go back and edit it. Thanks again to Aaron Freeman from Locked On Falcons for joining us on the podcast today. If you enjoyed our conversation, make sure that you subscribe to Locked On Bears to keep up with all of our daily in-depth Chicago Bears news and analysis. On tomorrow's podcast, we will be joined by Pro Football Focus lead NFL analyst Sam Monson, and we're going to discuss this Bears' hot start to the 2020 season, and whether Mitchell Trubisky's success through the first 2 weeks are sustainable. Because Sam believes that the Bears are a playoff team if Trubisky can keep playing at this level for the full 16-game stretch. I think you'll really appreciate his insight and his perspective on how this compares to other teams and other quarterbacks around the NFL. So make sure you're tuning back in for that. Make sure you're tuning in after the game for our recap post-game analysis of whatever's going to happen in what I think is going to be a real exciting matchup on Sunday. And before you know it, we'll be doing it all over again next week, 5 days a week, every week. And it's the only place where 5 days a week, you get a chance to bear down.